firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to
revival you? Has come to Judah, but it didn't last long. Welcome to Through the Bible. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us to the end of 2 Kings on this broadcast, where we'll see King Josiah die in battle and the people return to their wicked ways. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you aboard the Bible bus for the dramatic conclusion to our study in 2 Kings. Now, tomorrow we begin a meaningful journey through the New Testament book of Romans. So if you haven't already gotten your free copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for Romans, visit us at ttb.org, where you can download them immediately. And as you turn in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 23 at verse 28, I'd like to share a couple of quick letters from our fellow passengers on the Bible bus. First is an email. This comes from a listener named Jenny. The World Prayer Team email is the first one I open each morning. Good for you, Jenny. Me too. Reading about other Christians and people who are being drawn by the Holy Spirit reminds me as I start my day that I may encounter someone who needs to know Jesus. The letters from India and the Eastern European countries stand out to me because of their long history of war and the Muslim and idol influences. There is so much dark spiritual warfare around them. But God is working, and with God all things are possible. Thanks to President Greg Harris for keeping us informed and reminding us that our prayers are heard by our wonderful Almighty Father. May the Lord continue to keep the Bible bus going. Well, thanks for writing to us, Jenny. We really do appreciate your faithful partnership in prayer. Now next, we hear from David in Tulsa, Oklahoma. As a passenger on the Bible bus, my growth this year is in the blessing of contentment, knowing that God is in control of my life. All I have to do is to continue to live for Jesus in my heart, to live a pure and godly life with praise, prayer, Bible study, and thanksgiving. Beyond the daily studies, I also enjoy hearing letters from around the world. The stories I remember the most are of those folks who have given their lives to Jesus in the remote areas of the world under some of the harshest conditions, both brought on by nature and man. These people are the modern-day heroes of the Word. Living in America, we're so blessed to have all that we do so we can worship God and not suffer any consequences. Our freedom is a precious blessing from God. You know, you're right, David. Our freedom to study God's Word and to worship Him is definitely something that we need to be grateful for. In fact, let's thank Him for that now as we continue our study. Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity that we have to spend this time with You. We pray for those listening who choose faith despite their fears of persecution. Will You strengthen and protect them as they walk with You today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, last time, we were looking at the great revival under Josiah, one of the great kings. I suppose he and Hezekiah were the two outstanding kings that we have after David and Solomon. And he led in a great revival, which I believe are steps to revival in any period, and certainly it'd be true today. And the steps, we have them in our notes. The temple was repaired. First of all, things must be made right. Then there was a return to the Word of God. And that is absolutely essential, we believe. It led to conviction of sin. The people then put away idolatry. They put away immorality. And then they reinstituted the Passover. That is, they came back to the person of Christ. That's important. And then there were other reformations that took place during the reign of Josiah. Great era and period of blessing. And somebody, a friend of mine, called my attention to this. He's been following along with us in our study. And he said, have you ever noticed when the people were right spiritually with God, the children of Israel, there's always mention of the fact that they had gold and silver in abundance. And the fruits of the land were multiplied. Well, that's quite interesting. Maybe the reason that this country doesn't seem to be able to pull out of a financial problem, and we seem to get more and more enmeshed in it, is we're not using the right financial means to right things. It may be that our problem, after all, is spiritual. Now we come to a heartbreak in the story of Josiah. Great revival. And it was at the end of this kingdom. They'll be in captivity. We'll see that today. And God moved in a mighty way, just one great wave here at the end, to reveal the fact that he can send revival in the most difficult and dark days. But what ended the revival? Well, this is what ended the revival. Verse 28. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Well, what about him? Well, let's listen. Verse 29. In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. Now, my thought would be, Josiah, you keep your nose out of that fight. That's not your fight. You don't enter into it. But he entered into it. And King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. Now, you see, he should have stayed home. One time, you remember, David should not have stayed home. He should have gone to the battle, and he got in trouble. Now Josiah should stay home. This is not his fight. And he goes out, and what happens? He's slain at Megiddo. By the way, that is where, not the battle, but the war of Armageddon will be fought in the last days. That is, that's where it's consummated, apparently, in that great valley of Esdraelon and there at the hill of Megiddo. Now, this man Josiah, great man of God, but he did something rather foolish. He should not have gone out and entered a war. Say, that might be a message for another nation I know about. I'm afraid that we have meddled throughout the world today. May I say that we need to recognize that the only message that America has for the world today is not democracy, but it is the Word of God. And my friend, we were blessed when we were sending out the Word of God. And when we're sending out the propaganda that we send out, we're an immoral nation. God's not in it at all. And we're not being blessed today. And as a result, why, this is a great lesson, I think, for us. Josiah should have stayed home. This wasn't his fight. Verse 30, and his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo, brought him to Jerusalem, buried in his own sepulcher, and the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him, made him king in his father's stead. Well, you'd think now this boy that's coming to the throne, he'll fall in his father's footsteps, but he did not. He's an evil king, by the way, and he really is a bad one. Fact of the matter is, he didn't get the throne warm sitting on it. He didn't last but 3 months. Verse 31, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And we find again the mother of these kings is mentioned, and then we find that he didn't last very long. Pharaoh didn't like the way he was reigning, and he removed him from the throne and took him down into the land of Egypt, and he died down there. And we read in verse 34, and Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah's father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. Now, he put the brother of this man on the throne, Jehoiakim, and he reigned 11 years, but he's an evil king. Verse 37, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. Now, you see, we go from bad to worse. Jehoahaz was bad. Jehoiakim is even worse. Now there's a great power rising in the east on the Euphrates River, and that is Babylon. And Babylon is displacing Assyria. In fact, Babylon overcame Assyria. And Babylon will overcome Egypt, by the way, and become the first great world power. We get that in the book of Daniel later on. And it's right at this point that we actually ought to turn and read Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was the great prophet during this era. And he was the one that was calling this nation back to God and warning them that if they didn't turn to God, that they would be taken captive and be sent to Babylon. And this just seemed unbelievable because at this time, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was not quite this formidable. And they couldn't believe it. And the false prophets were telling the nation that God just couldn't get along without them, that the temple of God was there, the city of God was there, the nation of God was there. Well, God had to have them. He just couldn't get along without them. They found out he could get along without them. Actually didn't need that temple, to tell the truth. And it is going to be destroyed. Now, in verse 1, chapter 24, in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against it. You see, Jehoiakim had been put on the throne by the Pharaoh in Egypt. And now Nebuchadnezzar comes up at this particular time, and he didn't like Nebuchadnezzar, apparently, so he rebelled against him. And what happened? Verse 2, and the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, bands of the Syrians, bands of the Moabites, bands of the children of Ammon. You see, this man, Nebuchadnezzar, is now uniting his kingdom and bringing all his peoples together. And he's sending this great army now against Jerusalem. And he sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servants the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. I told you that Manasseh was the rascal. And if the glory didn't depart during his reign, nothing that would happen afterward caused it to depart. And because these people did not depart from the sins of Manasseh, they're going now into captivity. And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. They say that God will pardon all sin. Yes, if you'll come to him. But there are certain sins that are not pardonable, and I want you to listen very carefully. Christ died for all of them, but they are not pardonable because men don't come to Christ. My friend, that's the only place in the world that you'll ever have your sins forgiven, is to come to the one who died for you, paid the penalty for your sins. Who else can forgive you your sins? He alone is the way and the truth and the life. Now we are told the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? It gets a little complicated here now. Notice what happened. So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. The king of Egypt came not again anymore out of his land. Why? Well, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt under the river Euphrates all that pertained to the king of Egypt. Now, this is interesting to note. This is the exact land that God had vouchsafed to Abraham and those that came after him. Well, why don't they have it? The king of Babylon has it now. Well, they've sinned against God, and they've turned away from God, and that is the condition which are going to occupy the land. Now, Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And notice this, same old story. It gets a little monotonous. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem. The city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants, his princes, his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. Now the king and all the nobility are carried away in the first deputation that go into captivity. This took place about 605 B.C., Now he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house. He cut in pieces the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. He carried away all Jerusalem, all the princes, all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen, smiths. None remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother and the king's wives and his officers and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, it's a sad, sordid, sorry story, you see. Now, we find the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead. Changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah is the last king. He's the uncle of Jehoiachin. Zedekiah was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, you see, going way back to this woman that we had that was the mother of Jehoahaz. That would make him, you see, the uncle of Jehoiachin that's being carried away in captivity. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. He didn't improve. You'd think that the captivity would sober him. It did not at all. You see trouble. Well, do one of two things for an individual. Either soften you or harden you. Either draw you to God or draw you away from God. You can never be the same after trouble or suffering. Now will you notice, verse 20, for through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem, Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now again, false prophet said, look, God's on our side. But God's not on your side. And that is something that a great many people today need to be very careful about. I have had people say, well, I know this is God's will. He's revealed it to me, and they do whatever they had in mind to do. And God wasn't in it. And they failed in that. I know missionaries that went to the field, then came back. I had to say, as one young man said to me, I made a mistake in going out. But I said, you told me that you were in God's will. You were sure? Well, he said, I thought so. You better not think so. You better be sure when you begin to talk about God's on your side. Remember, the false prophet said that God's on our side. But God wasn't on his side. God said, I'll fight against you. I'll send you into captivity. I want to make sure, not that God's on my side. I want to make sure that I'm on God's side, friend. This idea of talking about my will is God's will and not always true. Somebody said to me, you ought to have more faith. God's going to heal you completely. I don't have that kind of faith. Sorry, I don't have it. I don't know what God's will is. But I want you to know this, I'm in his hands. And whatever his will is, I'll have to accept it. I'll bow to it. But we need to be very careful about this. The false prophets giving them false propaganda. Now notice what happens. This man comes up again. Actually, Nebuchadnezzar came three times against Jerusalem. The first time, you see, he didn't destroy the city. He just put Zedekiah in as king. But Zedekiah now rebelled. So it came to pass, this is chapter 25, now verse 1, came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his hosts, against Jerusalem, pitched against it. They built forts against it round about. The city was besieged till the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And then we're told, on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up. All the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. The army of the Chaldees pursued after the king, overtook him in the plains of Jericho. And all his army was scattered from him. So they took the king, brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. Now notice this. This was something that Jeremiah had predicted. And he was considered a traitor because he told the people the truth. Verse 7, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. This man deceived by false prophets, and would not listen to God's prophet. Now he's carried away into captivity, blinded. Now what did Nebuchadnezzar do? Well, because this city had rebelled, verse 9, he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem and every great man's house, burnt he with fire. Now this city was burnt and leveled so that when Nehemiah came later on after the 70 years captivity and looked upon that waste, it almost seemed hopeless and helpless, and he rallied the people. And the thing he had to overcome more than anything else was discouragement. These people were discouraged. What had happened? Well, the armies of Nebuchadnezzar had now broken into the city. The false prophets were false prophets. They'd said, God won't let this city be destroyed. And there are people today that are giving out in this country a false message, friends. They're saying that we're part of the 10 lost tribes. They're saying, God's on our side. He won't let us down. Why, my friend, God doesn't have to have us. Where did that notion come from? Well, it came from this period. And God sent them into captivity. Sad day for them. And it ought to be a lesson for us in this day. Now let me begin reading at verse 10. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord and the bases, the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces, carried the brass of them to Babylon. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons. In other words, he cleaned house. He just absolutely cleaned out the temple before it was destroyed with fire. And all of that was taken away into Babylon and all of these vessels. Now, we'll have an occasion we get to the book of Daniel to find those vessels were stored away and then were brought out when Belshazzar had that great banquet in his day. And there's a great deal of detail here about all that he took. And I'm not going to read all of that, but it reveals that he plundered the city of Jerusalem, burned it, and leveled it with the ground. And it was a great rubble that was there. You see, that city has been destroyed about 27 times. And each time, it's been rebuilt on the rubble, one right upon another. And the hill that Jerusalem is built on today is largely the rubble of past cities that is built up there. You hear people say today, especially all these tour agents, they amuse me. They say, come and go to Israel and walk today where Jesus walked. Well, my friend, you won't be walking where Jesus walked in Jerusalem. If you go to several spots there, and I'll not take time to go into detail, but if you go to them and look, you have to look all the way down, sometimes 20 feet, sometimes 25, sometimes 45 feet down to see the city that Jesus lived in and walked in. That is something that's quite interesting. Now, we are told here that he took all the people into captivity, and then, verse 24, he made Gedaliah governor of the land. And Gedaliah sware to them and to their men, and said unto them, fear not to be the servants of the Chaldees. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon. It shall be well with you. They had only listened to Jeremiah. They wouldn't be in that sad condition. Now we are told it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of the seed royal, he came and 10 men with him, and he smote Gedaliah, that he died, and the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah, and all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, where they were afraid of the Chaldees. A great company of them fled into Egypt and became colonists down there. And by the way, Jeremiah went with that group. He didn't go willingly, they took him. So it came to pass, verse 27, in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. He spoke kindly to him, set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. But you see, he is a subject king in a foreign court. All right, we finish 2 Kings. We will go next time to the Epistle to the Romans. I hope to meet you in the Epistle to the Romans.
Well, that concludes our great study of Samuel and Kings. We covered a lot of ground these past few weeks. Is there maybe a lesson that was particularly meaningful to you? Well, I can think of several stories of how God proved that he was in charge. How about you? What are your favorite parts? Well, we'd love to hear from you. You've got a lot of different ways that you can contact us. You can call 1-800-65-BIBLE and leave a message on our listener testimony line. You can email us at biblebus@ttb.org or write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. You can also post on the Through the Bibles page on Facebook, and there's always great comments to read there from others on the Bible Bus as well. Now, as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow we begin a very meaningful study in the book of Romans in the New Testament. So I hope that you'll join us as we look at the letter that Dr. McGee called the greatest document on our salvation. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible Bus just for you.
All to be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.